Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Most 21st century Americans have trouble understanding the symbolism that Jesus uses in the speaking that he is in the reading that we just heard a moment ago. Although many of us daily pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," most of us give little thought to having enough bread for each day. Unlike much of the third world that values a sack of grain for making bread as more precious than gold, what we are concerned about is not putting bread on our table, but how well our steaks and hamburgers are done, what extra topping we're going to have on our potatoes or salads, or what kind of milk we'll drink, 2%, whole, 1%, 0.5%, or my wife's preference, skim, and which one of the 39 flavors of ice cream we'll have on this hot evening. One walk down the numerous aisles at Meijer's or Scott's or Kroger's demonstrates that most Americans may not understand that bread is an essential staple of the diet of most people of the world, much less understand Jesus' announcement here in our text, I am the bread of life. It is not that we do not know what bread is, but most of us have a much more diversified and rich diet than the ancient Israelites who wandered the wilderness after the Exodus for 40 years, subsisting on daily manna provided out of God's goodness. The first century Jews that Jesus is talking to certainly understood this symbolism much better than we do. Not only had their ancestors been miraculously fed in the wilderness, but over 5,000 of the people, some of whom were continuing on with Jesus and hearing these words, had just been part of that hungry crowd that had feasted on bread and fish, courtesy of our Lord. The crowd who had sought Jesus after the feeding miracle asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" And Jesus answered them in the verse preceding our text, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." It is this response, to this response, that we find the question that opens our text. "Then what sign will you do in order that we believe in you?" After all, they had believed the prophet Moses because he had given them manna in the wilderness. Now, rather than disputing the legitimacy of their question, Jesus corrects their perception that it was Moses that had given them manna, bread, in the wilderness. "It was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Indeed, Jesus is pointing out the same Yahweh that had given them manna in the wilderness had just fed them in the countryside of Judea. There was a continuity between the signs of Yahweh in the Old Testament and the signs of Jesus, indeed that he is Yahweh in the flesh, found in the New Testament. But more than the manna in the wilderness, we should see that the Jews Jesus is speaking to understood that the true bread that Moses had given them was not just what they ate, but was the law of God. They called the law the bread of life, and they saw it as having come from heaven, and indeed as the source of life. Their approach to the law, however, missed the point that the law was primarily given to them to, first of all, show them their sin, show them their need for the Savior, for the grace that God would show in coming to deliver them. The giving of manna, as well as the giving of the law to ancient Israel, were signs that pointed to a gracious and giving Lord who would give himself for them, for the life of the world. These gifts were not ends in and of themselves, manna to fill their belly, or the law to somehow guide them to righteous life. These gifts were given in order to nurture faith in the one who gave those gifts, namely in the Lord himself. It is in the midst of their misconceptions about who gave them manna and what the bread from heaven truly is that Jesus declares very pointedly, very clearly, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will surely not go hungry, and he who believes in me will surely not thirst. Manna, the law, bread, and fish, all of these, as well as all the things that fill our cupboards and refrigerators, are merely gifts of the one who has created and who sustains life, namely Yahweh himself, the great I Am, the Holy Trinity. These gifts are meant to nourish trust, faith, belief in Yahweh as the giver, as the creator who provides for his creation, to the point and to point to the ultimate gift of Yahweh, namely Yahweh himself in flesh, lifted up on the cross for the forgiveness of the world. The bread that I will give for the life of the world, Jesus says, is my flesh. Jesus' sacrifice is the ultimate sign that he has given to the world about who he is as true God and as the creator of the world who is redeeming, reclaiming his creation. Few would give their lives for friends, but the Son gave his life for a rebellious world. Although we may not think of the law as the bread of life, all of us, including non-Christians, tend to elevate our own works as essential to life. How do we fill our grocery baskets at the market? How do we fill our stomachs? By our own work, we say. Why are so many people panicking as the Dow Jones Industrial goes down point after point? They're turning on CNN, watching that little number buzz down during the day. Why are they panicking? They see years of their own work disappearing before their very eyes. Yet, no matter how great or how much of our work, it does not overcome, as we all know, the ravages of sin that leads to death. That is why Jesus calls us from our own work to look at his work. As he says, the work of God is this, to believe in him whom he, namely the Father, has sent. Life, eternal and abundant life, is not accomplished by our own work. It is a gift given by our God through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every other world religion points people to their own work. Christ points us to his work, his complete and total work on our behalf, his life lived for us, his death in our stead, his resurrection as the first fruits of the great resurrection harvest on the last day. This bread we do not have to work for. This bread he freely gives us. He freely gives us in himself as he pours out that bread upon us in the waters of holy baptism. It's bread that flows from his lips as his word is spoken day after day, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. It's a word that tastes so much better than any other food that we could possibly taste, especially as we stare death in the face. remember just a few months ago, and this isn't in the script that I gave you, being at my father's bedside as he was dying. And certainly there was no food that he wanted to eat as he had this NG tube stuffed down his nose. And there were no other delicacies that he would want to feast on other than hearing the words of his Savior as he stared death in the face and realizing as he took in that bread of life, he had life. He had something more precious than anything the world could offer in the most expensive restaurants or the best supermarkets. Indeed, this bread of life is also offered to us in a meal that satisfies more than any royal banquet, a meal we celebrate Lord's Day after Lord's Day and here in this chapel, often Tuesday or Wednesday after Tuesday or Wednesday each week. And Jesus says, "He who comes to me will surely not go hungry, and he who believes in me will surely not thirst." Let us receive this gracious work of God and not only daily pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," but also daily pray, "Lord, give us this bread always." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.